What's the heaviest thing that you have carried? Recently, I've been thinking about this question and looked into the greatest weight lifted in a bench press. And can you believe it? It is 350 kilograms. Quite how someone can lie on their back and raise the bar with these huge weights. Weighing 350 kilograms is staggering. I can't quite imagine it. I remember back at university, I tried to do this and never really gone to the gym an awful lot to lift weights. It's not kind of my thing. But I managed to just about do 70 kilos, one rep. I could never have done 10. And that was my limit. Well, this is about five times as much. It's insane. It's a huge weight. And that was done by a guy called Julius Maddox last March in 2020. And I wonder, after a year of lockdown and COVID, whether he's pushed his record even further. And there's all sorts of other weightlifting records and Olympic weightlifting records that blow out your mind when you think about the weight people are carrying. What about other things in life? Maybe, like myself, you're probably not a weightlifter. I don't think we've got too many of those at Barton Church. But we carry heavy things all the time and suddenly feel the effects, don't we? Maybe carrying your shopping to the car thinking that you can manage those four bags in your two arms. Or maybe your toddler as you're trying to settle them to sleep and your arms are really strained. I remember walking in the Scottish Highlands a couple of years ago. Jocelyn was 3.5 and she did a good job of walking as much as she could up this 800 metre mountain. However, the time came when she needed to go on Daddy's shoulders, and so up she jumped and I walked. I started off fine, but after about 20 minutes, it really started to ache, and I moved position and I put her in my arms, and then I discovered that my arms weren't as able to manage that weight, and she went back into the carrier on my back. And I made it to the top, and I took her off. She was freezing, she had cried out, she was frustrated, but I had got to the summit of the mountain. And then the way down, on she went again. And by the end, my legs felt like jelly. I was struggling. I was every step feeling pain in my knees. It was not a good idea to take a 3.5-year-old up an 800 metre mountain. Either way, we accomplished it. And it was one of those memories that will stick with us. What is it that you've carried that's been really heavy? Is it a child up a mountain? Is it those shopping bags? Is it when you were moving house recently and you were managing furniture up and down the stairs? Or is it something entirely different? Actually, the things that weigh us down the most, the things that we carry that are heaviest, aren't physical, are they? They're not physical, no. They're actually our hopes and our dreams, our fears and our anxieties about the future, about our elderly relative, or about a family member and the struggles they're going through. Maybe it's your teenage daughter or son as you carry the weight of concern over them as they engage in life and you're not sure quite what they're up to. Maybe it's the fear of your job and the insecurity that lies ahead. Maybe it's how we're going to come out of lockdown, or not out of lockdown, but out of this next phase of easing, and you're concerned by the way that's going to impact church or life or family, society. Lots of things weigh us down, don't they? And actually, that's because what weighs us down often, what we carry, are the things that we place in the centre of our heart as being the most important. We're weighed down by responsibility and our job prospects because we care about work, because we care about our career development. We get weighed down by our exam results and how we're going to do and whether we can pass because we care about education. We get weighed down by hopes of our children finding a spouse and marrying them because we care about family and children and marriage. We care about those that are in different statuses across our church because we want them to be happy and well. And so different things weigh upon us and can weigh us down if we say that they are central to our value and our systems of what matters in life. And those things do matter. It matters. Relationships are important. Work is important. Health is important. But what can happen for us as Christians is if we begin to place those things right in the centre of everything, that they can weigh us down and we carry the responsibility for those things, and it can be like a burden on our back, and it can be quite enslaving. Because what happens if we don't pass the exam? What happens if we don't get the job? What happens if someone does get ill or die? What happens when our finances are threatened? What happens when in church things go wrong? What happens when we have to wear masks for more months than we want to? What is the impact? And as we look at this passage in Isaiah today, chapter 46, we get the heart of this issue coming to the surface. This word carry, to carry, this word a burden on the back, is central to this chapter that's been read for us. And you maybe noticed as it was read for us what that was about. And that word is really important for us to understand. What is it we need to let go of? Stop carrying. And who is it that can help us carry the weight, the responsibility, the burdens in our life? That's what we're going to think about. And as we do that, chapter 46 of Isaiah follows a series of chapters in this portion of Isaiah, which are all about false gods and idolatry and the prospect of being overwhelmed by judgment because of the idolatry of the people of Israel. And yet there is hope, and yet there is comfort, and yet there is promise for those that follow God, that obey him, that hold to his promises for the future, that things will be okay, because God has not given up on his people. And there's a wonderful picture and illustrations of that in these chapters, and we've covered some of them. And today, as we look at chapter 46, and as we've read some of those verses, we've been introduced to this theme more, and there's a mixture, isn't there, of the burdens and what is being carried by the people and the nations, and also in contrast, what God does for you and for me. And the first thing I want to say is, put your burdens down. That's what Isaiah 46 verses 1 to 2 seem to say. We need to put our burdens down because they're overwhelming. What was the context? Well, Bel bows down and Nebo stoops low. These two names that are alien to us. But for the people of Babylon, who were to have invaded Israel and taken the people to exile in Babylon, these two known gods, Bel and Nebo. Bel is basically the word for Lord, Master, and would have been the revered god of the Babylonians. And Nebo, the son of Bel, the kind of number two in line, as it were. And so these two household gods, these two known gods that were sought after, and what they seemed to promise, apparently, was that they would write down, as the gods of wisdom, the fate of the people. And they would write down these fates of the people on tablets. And obviously, the gods didn't actually write this. People did, as they were instructed by what they felt the gods were saying about the future. And so these gods are all about fate and the future, and apparently full of wisdom. But alongside that, what would happen each year would be that the people would process these statues of gold, these gods, Bel and Nebo, on, as the passage says, beasts of burden, on donkeys and ox and horses, and they would process from the temple down into the city, through the city to the shrine in the centre of the city. But here, what we see is not a vision from Isaiah of a wonderful procession, of everything okay for these people in Babylon, but instead a description that talks of Bel bowing down, Nebo stooping low. Normally you bow to the gods, not seeing the gods bowing down or stooping low. Their idols are born on beasts of burden. So they're carried, they're born. The images that are carried are burdensome. are a burden for the weary. This is quite negative language, isn't it? This is a burden, it's difficult, it's wearying. It hardly sounds like a wonderful celebration and procession of the wonderful gods of the people of Babylon. And then they stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. So the beasts aren't able to carry these burdens. They're unable to rescue. And actually, there's captivity coming. Babylon, in Isaiah's vision here, is one that is crumbling, is deteriorating. It's being made the one that is taken into captivity. These gods are false gods. They're burdensome and they need to be carried. A bit further down, we find out more. And in verse 7, it says, they lift it to their shoulders and carry it. The gold statues, the idols that have been man-made. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place and there it stands. From that spot, it cannot move. Even though someone cries out to it, it cannot answer. It cannot save them their troubles. You see, these false gods, they can't move. They can't talk. They don't answer. And they cannot save. They can't do anything. They're immobile. They're dead. They're not living. And yet, this picture of the burdens was the very thing that the Israelites were tempted by within the land of Babylon, within the history of Israel. We get a whole story, don't we, within the Bible of the people seeking false gods, worshipping false idols, creating golden calves. Why? They're a burden. What Isaiah's vision is showing here is that you carry false gods. They are a burden. It's a bit like what we were talking about earlier, wasn't it? It's a bit like the way that we are burdened by responsibility. We're overwhelmed with our fears and our hopes and our anxieties and our what's going to happen about the future, our family, our jobs, our situations, our finances. They can enslave us and take us captive. That's exactly what was happening then. And the message to us today is put those burdens down. Let go of the burdens. Give up the weight that you are carrying. Put it down. It's heavy, it's burdensome, it's draining. And you know what? It cannot save. That was what we heard last week from Isaiah 44 as well. And here in verse 7, even though someone cries out to it, it cannot answer, it cannot save them from their troubles. They're lumps of gold and silver. It's wood. They cannot save. They didn't save the people of Babylon. They were taken captive by the king of Persia, Cyrus, some years later. They were false gods. And this is what the people are told and warned of, and what we must be warned of as well, because our hearts are always tempted to worship false things, to follow things that in themselves might be good, but are not God things, are not true, and cannot save. That's the first thing. And then in verse 3 to 4, we see that we need to let God carry us. You see, if this passage is all about carrying and burdens, the first thing we realise is that we're under this weight, we're carrying stuff that's heavy, and we need to let go of that. It can't save us. But what we do instead is let God carry us. What liberating words. What a wonderful hope and message to share with others that are overwhelmed with financial burden, that are overwhelmed by the stress of ill health, overwhelmed by the anxieties of what tomorrow will bring and what results they may get. Here we have a message that says, let go of those burdens and that weight and that responsibility and let God carry you. He is our burdenless God. He is powerful. He is beautiful. And he carries his people. What does the verse say in verse 3? Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth. Upheld, that language of holding, of carrying, like an infant in a mother's arms. And have carried you since you were born to the mature age that they are now. God carries his people. And listen to these amazing words in verse 4. Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. This is the God that is the maker, the sustainer, the carrier of his people. He carries you and me. He carried his people of Israel through the wilderness into the promised land, through the years of tribulations with the judges and with the kings, to the point of the exile, even as they're carried off into captivity. God is saying, I carry you. I carry you and I will carry you back to Jerusalem. I will liberate you and bring freedom. And in Jesus Christ, we know that, don't we? This word, this language of being carried, of being sustained, of being rescued, is what the Old Testament is all about. It's about the love of a Saviour, a Messiah, the promise of hope in challenging times. And next week we're going to hear a message on Isaiah 53. And I'm just going to read a few verses from it. In verse 11 and 12, it says this: after he, the Messiah, has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he'll bear their iniquities, bear, carry. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He bore, he carried the sins of many, of you and of me. You see, we put down our burdens and we let God carry us, because Jesus, our Messiah, has carried our burden for us, the burden of sin, the penalty that we are due for our wrong and our rebellion and our idolatry. We put those things aside, we give them over to Jesus, and we know that on the cross he dealt with them. Here in Isaiah 46, we have the hope of rescue. I will rescue you. I will carry you. And that's true for you and for me. And if you're a Christian, you know that in Jesus. And if you don't, then find out more about how Jesus fulfills that in the New Testament. Please look into it. Read passages like this and ask that question. How is my sin dealt with? Well, the gospel says that Jesus takes your sin as you, in repentance and faith, look to him. And he dies for it. And he rises in new life to bring you forgiveness and salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the promise of life eternal. I experienced this word carry in my own sort of story, as it were, the last 6 months. I think it was February time that, as an eldership and as a staff team, we met on Zoom as we had to, and we had a period of planning and vision discussion and prayer. And one of the questions that I asked everyone was, what two or three words would you use to summarize how you're feeling at the moment? And one of the words I used to describe how I was feeling in the middle of that third lockdown in February was carried. And it was my testimony to be able to say that even though I felt at times the weight of church leadership, the uncertainty of when we would regather as a fellowship in person, the problems of not being able to easily disciple people and follow people up pastorally because we were limited to our homes and Zoom, that I felt carried. Not by my experience, not by my education, not by my spirituality and holiness, not by others, the staff and elders, though a great support they were, my family, the loving care that they provided, but by God, my rescuer. And what I realised was that God not only saves us and carries us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, he not only saves us, in a sense, carrying us to a new life with him, he carries on carrying us. He never stops. He never puts us down. He never gets too weighed down. He's not like me on that mountain carrying Jocelyn up and down a mountain and needing to take her off for a rest and then pick her up again so that I could do the last stretch. He is always carrying us. He carries us. He takes the weight, the burden, the responsibility from us to enable us to manage to keep going, to trust him, to know his strength, his love, his comfort, his care. Wow, that's the Saviour that we have, a Saviour that is always carrying us. I will carry you. I will sustain you, help you to keep going when it's hard, and rescue you. And that is real for you and for me. And for me, that was a moment. I felt carried. I could let go of those weights of responsibility and that burden. It wasn't mine to bear. I could give it to God in prayer. I could trust him with the fact that he would strengthen me, that he would carry me through this season. And he's carried us as a church. And I hope that you can testify to God carrying you through the year that we've had, and that he will carry on carrying us, building his church in the way he plans to in the coming months. You know that Footprints poem, it's really well known, isn't it? I'm not going to read it out. I guess a number of you have read it. If not, then search it up on the internet, Footprints poem. And it talks about there being two sets of footprints and then one set of footprints after a while. And this mystery as to why there was suddenly only one set. And then it dawns upon the individual that God has picked up and carried the individual through the hard times. Actually, I wonder whether that footprints poem should only ever have one set of footprints. Because God always carries us. He never puts us down and leaves us to ourselves. He is our carrying God, our saving, rescuing God. So what does that look like? How do we experience being carried in our day-to-day lives? And as we finish, I want to draw out a few things from the last few verses. And what we find in verse 5 is this tremendous comparison. With whom will you compare me or count me equal? God isn't like Nebo and Bell. He's far greater. There's no comparison that you compare like one football team against another, or one dancer against another, or one COVID response in one country to another. God is on a different scale to golden statues that can't speak, that can't move and can't save. And this is why. Verse 8, remember this, keep it in mind, take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. God is living, he's alive, and he's able to intervene in our lives. And he's done that in the past, and the people are called to remember the past. Trust the promised king to carry you. That's what Isaiah is saying. That's what God's saying to the people. Trust the promised king to carry you. How? By remembering he's the promise maker. He's made the promises. In verse 4, we read them. It says things like, I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. We have to remember that God is Saviour. And he's done it through those past events, through the Exodus for the people of Israel, through the years with David and Solomon, and ultimately through Jesus Christ, who in victory over death, defeated death and sin, and has risen again. And so we have a promise keeper who's promised to be with us and never leave us nor forsake us, who's promised us the gift of the Holy Spirit, who's promised us the wonder of a living hope of heaven being with God forever. He is the promise maker. And we need to hold on to that and remember that. And then know that it's about believing him to be the fulfiller, the promise fulfiller, as well as the promise maker. And we get that in verse 10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land a man to fulfill my purposes. See, actually here, we understand that God has a plan that he is going to fulfill. He is the fulfiller. And there's this image of a bird of prey that is brought from a distant land in the east to come and achieve his purpose. Well, that's an image of King Cyrus, the Persian king who would overthrow the Babylonians, would take them into captivity and be used by God to enable the people of Israel, the Jewish people, to return to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, rebuild the walls, and return to Judah, which does happen. He is the promise maker and the promise fulfiller. the promises given to us, he fulfills. He promised to the disciples the gift of the Spirit and they received it. He promises to you and me that he'll be with us, and he will and has fulfilled that. One day there won't be sin and crying and pain and tears and disasters and disease, disappointment and discouragement. He will fulfill that. And the third and final thing that we see in these last verses, see, not only the promise maker and the promise fulfiller, he's the promised saviour. And we see it really clearly in verse 12 and 13. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted. Isaiah is still using these words that God inspires him to pen. You stubborn-hearted. They are kind of rebellious people. But listen to what follows. You who are now far from my righteousness, I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendour to Israel. The promised Saviour, the righteousness of God coming near to his people. Who is the righteous one? How is that brought near? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and was the King of righteousness, who enabled salvation, the promised Messiah, the anointed King, who would come and fulfill the promises of God for the people and for you and for me, who would die a death that we would live a life with him forever. He is the promised Saviour, and he will carry Barton Church. He will build his church. He will build the church in the UK and around the world to glorify his name and to enjoy for all eternity life with him in peace and prosperity and harmony. This is the message of the book of Isaiah to a people in need of hope and encouragement and comfort. And they receive comfort by being told, remember the promised maker, remember the promised keeper, remember the promised saviour. And as you seek to get to know God more through Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit, what does that look like? Well, when you feel weak and like you're overburdened by life, by work, by health issues, by finances, by whatever situation you're in, let go of those burdens. Remember that God carries you. Let him carry you. Stop jumping out of his arms. Let him carry you. And know that as he does that, all he asks you to do is trust him. Remember him. Know him more. Read the scriptures and see how the promises of God are fulfilled. Take time to listen to him and know his presence in your heart, so that as you go through the challenges of your day and your week, you know the sure presence of God with you. So it's okay to feel weak. It's okay to feel like it's too much, because God is strong, God is sufficient, and God is carrying you. This week, in your prayer times, pray into God to help you reveal one area of life that you are holding on to and carrying that you need to let go, that you need to give back to God and trust him with, that you need to say, I'm going to trust my health into your hands. I'm going to trust my kids' education into your hands. I'm going to trust my future relationships into your hands. I'm going to trust my finances into your hands. I'm going to trust my church into your hands. I'm going to trust my family. Whatever it is, think of what God is saying. This is becoming an idol. This is becoming too central a feature in your mind, in your heart, in the way you spend your money, and it needs giving up. It needs change and stopping. And as you pray into that one thing, let God carry you. And as he carries you, may you know that you are trusting the promised Saviour, Jesus Christ.